Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Today we have a great show for you. We have a great show for you today. And here on Live Your True Life Perspectives, we often talk about various things, about psychology. We've talked a lot about Cluster B, about borderline personality disorder. We talk about narcissistic personality disorder, and the list goes on. You know, oftentimes we discuss the dynamic when it comes to couples in romantic relationships. However, we understand that BPD does affect everyone. And today we're going to be discussing the parent-child dynamic. What happens when your child has signs and symptoms of BPD? How to get a grasp on the situation and understanding what is happening and be able to move forward with not only understanding, but being in a powerful position to understand what's happening, to make the best choices, to choose wisely for your child, and to choose wisely for the family dynamic as well. Joining me live on Live Your True Life Perspectives today is Randy Kreger. Randy is the author of Stop Walking on Eggshells. Stop Walking on Eggshells has sold over 1 million copies, sold in 17 different languages. Randy's an international expert on BPD and how BPD behavior affects the family. Stop Walking on Eggshells for Parents is coming out in 2022, and also there's various other books that Randy is working on. Randy, great to have you live on Live Your True Life Perspectives. How are you doing?
I'm just fine, and I'm here to share what I know with your listeners.
Great to have you on, and, you know, it's interesting, when we've been talking prior to the show, you know, we discussed, and you mentioned that, you know, the biggest difference when we're discussing the couple dynamic versus the parent and child dynamic is that in a marriage or in a relationship, you can choose to move on, but when it comes to your child, obviously you can't. So where do we begin? I think that what are some of the signs that you can begin to talk about where your child may be suffering with BPD signs or symptoms?
The first thing I actually want to discuss is the whole subject of, can children have BPD? Because it's actually a pretty controversial subject. There's only one other book that I know of two other books that I know of about this. Until recently, the thought was, and a lot of clinicians still believe, that you have to be 18 years or over to be diagnosed with BPD. But what we're finding out now is that the earlier you can treat it, the better outcomes people can have. And so my book, Stop Walking on Eggshells for Parents, which is coming out in February of next year, has a lot of different quotes and important people saying that, yes, this can occur.
And that's very valuable, because I have read many things where people have argued back and forth on that, and you're right. If we can get to the source and we can deal with it at an earlier age, there's a better chance of really not only helping that child, supporting that child, but giving them the tools to be able to succeed.
Yes, yes. So let's talk about the different signs, which you actually asked me about first. One of them is frantic efforts to avoid real or imagined abandonment. And that kind of comes out in so many things. For example, children think that if they're left, a thought that can be the loved one being late for a date or not answering a phone call can lead to some pretty desperate behavior. And they're really afraid that it's a profound sense that somebody essential to their well-being will absolutely never come back. And this fear of abandonment from your parents or a little girl that you're dating or something like that can lead to really impulsive behavior like cutting yourself or thinking about suicide or even making a suicide attempt. So that frantic effort to avoid to avoid real or abandonment can also come from any kind of trigger. It doesn't need to even have to be something so serious. It's just something that appears in their mind. For example, they have a friend and their friend walks through the hall and they don't say hi. Even if the person was deep in thought and just didn't say hi, that will kick in that fear of abandonment. So that's really important.
That abandonment is definitely the driving force behind that behavior, and you're right. It's the way that it's interpreted, and definitely because of what's going through their mind and the interpretation of that action becomes this huge action to them. Definitely true.
Yes. Another trait is impulsivity in at least two areas that are potentially self-damaging, such as excessive spending, dangerous sexual encounters, substance abuse, reckless driving, and binge eating. So what all of these things have in common is their pain management behaviors. When they feel pain, and people with BPD feel a lot of pain, they need to do something quickly to feel better. And, for example, one parent found out that her child was having sex with men in back alleys that she didn't know. They might take their psychiatric medicine all at one time. They might hook up with older adults that they just met on the internet or elsewhere, or post pictures of themselves naked on social media. So there's a lot of pain management behaviors. That would be a really important second trait.
And the pain management behavior, yes, you're right. It's what they're doing to be able to deal with the pain, deal with that suffering, trying to get away from that, I guess, and try to neutralize that. What's another symptom and sign that we're dealing with children with BPD?
Well, I just wanted to mention that these signs are also in adults. But another one would be inappropriate, intense anger or difficulty controlling anger, such as frequent displays of temper, constant anger, and recurrent physical fights. This is one of the things that parents and others really have a hard time dealing with, because borderline anger is a whole different animal than regular anger. It's the kind of anger that can leave you frozen because you can't believe that it's happening, or it can make you feel unsafe. And this is something that parents really don't know how to handle, as well as adults. So that would be a really important one.
And definitely, I feel you're right. Definitely these signs and symptoms are definitely across the board, you know, with adults as well at any age. When you're looking at that core, the driving force, you know, most of the time we look back at that core fear of abandonment. Right, Randy?
Yes, and there's another core fear, too. It's not a fear exactly, but it's the way they feel about themselves. Somebody with BPD has extremely low self-esteem, and they feel worthless, and like they shouldn't be taking place in the world. And that leaves them really vulnerable to any kind of criticism. And it's hard when you're a parent to keep in mind that these things are coming from a place of extreme vulnerability and low self-esteem. Because somebody yelling at you is one thing, and you feel like you need to defend yourself, but you have to remember that the person with BPD is having what you would call a really bad day. They have all the time. And another trait is moodiness, extreme moodiness. Now, that's something that teenagers have all the time, but their moods go really fast from up to down. They may have depression, and the moods everything is a disaster. Everything bad that happens is a disaster. A bad grade is a disaster. Losing a friend is a disaster. And they have absolutely no perspective to look at this and say, well, you know, maybe this the pain of this will be over. Their mood can go up and down. It also goes up when good things happen, but then it can plummet down 5 minutes later.
The extremes are going back and forth, and it's interesting because I think that a lot of folks don't realize that, and then definitely the argumentation or the yelling or being upset, but also understanding that they're going from one extreme to another, and it's very emotionally tough on these kids.
Yes, it really is. And it's emotionally tough on the parents. One of the things that I learned when I wrote Stop Walking on Eggshells for Parents is that an abusive relationship is an abusive relationship. And you hate to think of your kid as, you know, being abusive, but they really can be. And parents have a very difficult time because, unlike a partner relationship, as you said earlier, you can't leave your child. And some parents manage to deal with these things. Other parents, just depending upon their own background, when the kid yells at them, "You're the worst mother or father ever," it goes right into their own feelings of low self-worth. And when I was researching the book, two different parents were suicidal, and one wanted to kill her daughter as well as herself. So most parents can cope, but the feeling of grief, loss, trauma, and stress on these parents really can't be overestimated.
They're definitely suffering themselves, and it's hard because I bet, you know, especially from a parental standpoint, you know, you get overwhelmed. You don't know if you can take care of it. Probably some frustration, you know, maybe going to several doctors and not getting the support necessary and not having the answers that they need.
Yep. The really big problem with kids is that because there's this false belief that you can't treat them until 18, when you go to a therapist and you say, "Hey, my kid is showing all these signs," the therapist might say to you, "Well, we can't diagnose BPD, so let's diagnose bipolar instead." Bipolar is a little bit similar in that they both have moods, but the moods of people with BPD go up and down very, very quickly, where the moods of people with bipolar go, you know, months or even years, but they're very different. And a lot of times, like I said, therapists would rather diagnose a child as bipolar, but the differences other than the cycles of mood are that people with BPD are reactive in all emotions, anger, love, whatever, all emotions go up and down. Whereas with bipolar, it's basically either massive depression or mania. So that's another difference. And I only mention this because so many kids are diagnosed with bipolar instead of BPD, and they take the wrong medication.
So true. So true. Randy, when we return, we'll be talking more with Randy Kreger here, talking about more of the signs and symptoms, some treatment options, as well as creating some boundaries and some limitations to help out the dynamic and to become more successful in the family dynamic. So stay tuned. Don't turn the channel. We got a lot more. So Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. I'll be back this time in two shakes.
You've heard me talking about MyPillow for 3 years. Folks, it's the truth. I get the best sleep of my life with a MyPillow. You can do it too. 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty, made in the USA. You'll sleep well or you'll get your money back. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, use my promo code USA, get 2 MyPillow premium pillows for the price of one, or call 1-800-951-8175. Get the best sleep of your life and do it now.
Money, 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 money. You gotta have it. When you need it, what do you do? If you don't have a rich uncle
Call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. That's 800-634-1315. NMLS number 1136.
You've heard me talking about MyPillow for 3 years. Folks, it's the truth. I get the best sleep of my life with a MyPillow. You can do it too. 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty, made in the USA. You'll sleep well or you'll get your money back. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, use my promo code USA, get 2 MyPillow premium pillows for the price of one, or call 1-800-951-8175. Get the best sleep of your life.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. We've been talking about dealing with BPD in children and the parent and family dynamic with Randy Kreger. You know, Randy is the author of Stop Walking on Eggshells. You know, Randy, right before the break, we'd continue talking about some of the symptoms and signs, and I know we have a couple more to cover of the symptoms and signs in BPD. What are those next two that we want to discuss?
Sure. The next one is identity disturbance, markedly and persistently unstable self-image or sense of self. Like all of the traits of BPD, these are common in teenagers in general. So if you're thinking, well, that's every teenager, it's much more intense. It's the difference between a kitchen in your home and a kitchen in an institution where they feed hundreds of people or 1,000. So it's so much more intense for a kid, and with the identity disturbance, their values, morals, and identity seem fluid and changing, and often their sense of self is determined by their identification with a group of friends at that moment. So they hang out with the goths and they're goths, they hang out with the nerds and they're nerds, whatever, they're different people in different situations. And That's an important one. So that's one. And then the second one is suicidal feelings, ideation, attempts, which are so scary to parents, and cutting or damaging the body in ways, which is also really scary to parents. And those kinds of behaviors often end up bringing the kid into the hospital so they can be safe. Being safe is really a big thing, being safe from rage, being the kids being safe from themselves. So those are the two last ones.
And those are very important to look at. You know, I know that we only have a few minutes left in this segment, but, you know, you started kind of talking about, you know, options. And, you know, when you talk about, you know, putting them in the hospital, putting them in a situation like that, is that kind of the last resort? Because we don't want to keep them there for very long, right? Is that just to try to stabilize?
Correct. You're trying to stabilize them. And, of course, in hospitals today, you have to be a danger to yourself or others, pretty much for any insurance to kick in. But kids go to the hospital often a couple times. The other option is they go to residential treatment centers, which are places that are very strict and can only go out during certain times. And it's kind of to hold somebody who's being so destructive to the family that you simply can't deal with them. The effects on the family are really important. Everybody in the household, their lives spin around the person with BPD. It's kind of like alcoholism is a family disease and borderline personality disorder is a family disease. So siblings are really, really affected more than we can say, as well as parents.
That's so true, and you're right, and I like how you said that, Randy. It's a family disease. So when we return, we're going to be talking more about this situation. We're going to be talking more about the parent-child dynamic. We'll also be talking more about treatment options, what's out there. You know, is it DBT? Is it CBT? What are the options that work to help these kiddos out, as well as, you know, Randy's going to be talking more about the structure, how to really create the consistency, you know, because we have to have consistency, we have to have strength, we have to create boundaries, and we have to adhere to these things. Also, don't forget later on in the hour at the end, I'll be asking Randy her two nuggets of wisdom, and some information on a Zoom group and an online support that Randy offers. So stay tuned. Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. I'll be back this time in two shakes.
I hope you've enjoyed my history and lore tales here on Ashley's True Life Show. I know that there are many more amazing stories in your own family that we can discover in your tree. Hi, I'm Dan from Dancestors Genealogy. We take the hard part of discovering your family's passed away from you by doing all of the research. You and your family end up with a beautifully bound heirloom book to view and enjoy. As a longtime genealogist, my staff and I know precisely where to look. We know what to look for and to preserve your story. So consultations with me are always free. Create your family heirloom book for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or next Christmas by talking with me, Dan, at Dancestors Genealogy. So please reach out today by going to our website, www.dancestorsgenealogy.com. That's DancestorsGenealogy.com, and fill out a contact request, and we'll get right back to you.
USA Radio News.
I'm Brad Bernards. General Kenneth McKenzie is the commander of U.S. Central Command. He says we are relying on the Taliban for security at the airport in Kabul.
We expect those attacks to continue, and we're doing everything we can to be prepared for those attacks. That includes reaching out to the Taliban, who are actually providing the outer security cordon around the airfield, to make sure they know what we expect them to do to protect us.
Americans on all sides are wondering why we are partnering with the people we've been at war with for 20 years.
The investigation into the origins of the COVID-19 pandemic should continue, said Thomas Wright, a senior fellow of foreign policy at Washington-based think tank Brookings Institution, after U.S. intelligence agencies earlier this week delivered an inconclusive assessment on the issue to President Joe Biden. This is USA Radio News.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. We've been talking today about the impact of the parent-child dynamic when you're dealing with a child that has signs and symptoms of borderline personality disorder. Joining me here live is Randy Kreger. Randy is the author of Stop Walking on Eggshells. She has another book coming out in the very beginning of 2022, next year. And Randy and I were just been talking about the signs and symptoms and then some of the treatment options. And so, Randy, when we were talking, we began talking about the extreme situation when someone is needing to have some safety, when there's some suicidal ideation, some things like that that are happening when they might be, when they could hurt themselves. There's possible residential treatment centers, the hospital. But what are some of the other treatment options that might be able to be helpful when helping these kids to understand why they do what they do, understand their thought process, etc.?
Well, the gold standard of treatment is something called dialectical behavior therapy, which was developed more available. The question about treatment, of course, is it available in your community? If you go to, say, your local therapist and they don't know how to treat BPD, and they certainly don't know how to treat BPD children. It may do more harm than good. So you need to make sure that you find a therapist who is experienced in BPD and who accepts the fact that children can have it. In my book coming out in February, Stop Walking on Eggshells for Parents, I actually included a little page in there for parents to give to their treatment professionals. It's written from one doctor to another. So dialectical behavior therapy was developed to help stop suicidal thoughts and cutting, but it has different modules, and one of the most important modules is called distress tolerance. And what it basically tries to do is once somebody is distressed, moody, etc., instead of doing one of those impulsive pain management behaviors, there's a module on something called distress tolerance. And there are things that people can do, children or adults, when they feel distressed that don't hurt them. For example, there's something called opposite action, which is doing exactly the opposite that you feel like. So if you feel like hiding in bed, the action would be going out and seeing people. Rather than do self-harm, people in dialectical behavior therapy say hold your hand in a glass of ice water until it hurts, because that's just temporary. So distress tolerance is one of them, and that's one of the most important ones. There's also medications, and the medications don't treat BPD itself, but it treats the symptoms. There's antipsychotic medications, there are antidepressant medications, and there are mood stabilizing medications. So what you need here is a psychiatrist that really understands BPD, even though that's going to be hard to find. And you have to be really careful using medications in children, because usually it hasn't been tested for children. And the medications are used off-label a lot of time, if you know what that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it hasn't been tested for them. And keeping an eye on a child is very important when there's medication involved, being able to see any changes, personality changes, different other changes that might be very important. Let's move into, because I feel that once we understand kind of what we're dealing with, and it's hard enough to raise a child, right? It's hard. You know, parenting is not an easy job. But I've realized that when you're dealing with this situation, and any children for that matter, but really with this situation, we need to have consistency. We need to create limitations. We need to create boundaries. So how do we begin to do that, Randy, when we're trying to, you know, lower the outburst, when we're trying to be able to communicate that sort of thing with the children?
Well, the number one thing to remember about boundaries is that they're not about controlling somebody else's behavior. That may be counterintuitive, but we can't control other people. What we can control is ourselves. And we have to decide first, all right, what if my kid rages? What am I going to do? What am I going to do if this happens? What am I going to do if that happens? And then you basically sit down and have a talk with the child, because most likely you haven't had boundaries. So you need to tell them, you know, things are changing. And you think about what it is that you give your kids that you can take away. And often, for example, that's a cell phone. Or any kind of time on social media. So you come up with a boundary and you explain it to the child and you say, you know, if this happens, you know, if you rage, if you yell, I'm going to leave the room. If you threaten suicide, I'm going to call the paramedics. Because a lot of times people will threaten suicide when they're trying to get what they want, and they know that if they do that, the parent will give in. So you have to follow through consistently every single time. So when you're thinking about, okay, if the kid doesn't do this, what am I going to do? You have to be willing to go through and do those things. Otherwise, boundaries do more harm than good. And the big other thing to remember about boundaries is when your kid adheres to them, you need to reward them by saying something, by body language, even different things. You know, if your boundary is an hour of homework every night, when they do it, you know, you can take them out to Dave and Buster's or whatever it is that you like. But structure and boundaries are, you have to remember that once you set them, the kid is going to do what's called counter moves. And that is, are you really serious or are you not? And they will up the ante. You know, if you set a boundary about rage, then they'll rage even more. And the whole key to setting boundaries, in addition, besides rewarding and when they do it right, is going through that period of counter moves on blind faith that it will work once you keep sticking to it and you provide that consistency and structure for kids that they really so desperately need.
It's interesting, Randy, because when I'm working with folks, you know, in the romantic relationship department as far as in marriage and relationships, that's one of the biggest things is consistency. And, you know, most of the time in these relationships, we don't have any boundaries. We don't have any limitations. We haven't been consistent. And you know, you hear folks say, wow, you know, it's painful, you know, that they rage or they did this or that. And it's like, you're gonna have to jump the hump. There's going to be a time where you're going to want to quit this. You're going to want to quit this structure. You're going to want to quit these boundaries. But the longer you do it, the more consistency you have, the better it is. Because across the board, what I've seen is that, you know, folks that have these signs and symptoms, one of the things that they need is consistency. To me, I think consistency creates a security type feeling, but it's also they realize that, hey, if I do this, this is what's going to happen. And I think that's very powerful. Even if you feel like, oh, gosh, I can't keep doing it. It's like you really, at that point in time, definitely have to stick with those boundaries.
Well, the thing about parents that makes it really hard for them to stick to it is they just don't want to enrage the kid, or in other words, don't poke the bear. There is a punishment for setting boundaries, and that is the kid acting out. And it's not easy. A lot of parents go for the easier thing, which is to give them what they want. So it's a little, you know, you really have to convince parents that it's an absolutely important thing to do, because if you give in to the child, they're going to learn, and the child wants parents to do things for them and to be really involved in helping them because it makes them feel like they're still loved. So when you try to push your child to be a little bit more independent, they see that as, you don't love me anymore. And so the other thing that parents do is they'll just do things for the kid that they should be old enough to do for themselves. They're going to have a hard time to do things for themselves because they're so involved with their feelings when other teens are learning to get jobs and drive cars and do all that stuff. So the parent, and I explained this really well in Stop Walking on Eggshells for Parents coming out in February, you really have to try hard to get your kid to be independent, because if you don't, once they graduate from high school, they're not going to want to move out. And there are some kids who stay at home until they're in their 30s. Mm-hmm. And it's real easy for parents to be codependent and allow that to happen, but you really can't let it happen.
That is so true. It's like if you don't allow them the independence to do things, and, you know, I've worked with folks that, you know, oh, we do this and we do that for them, and it's like, well, at some point in time, if we don't allow them to be independent in nature to some degree, they're never going to learn this, even though they might be upset initially. It's about helping them get the tools to be able to become an adult. And you're right, there are kids that live at home in 30s, even 40s.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's critical.
Yes. I just want to talk about something else that's really critical. How many minutes do we have left?
Oh, yeah, we're good. We have about 4 minutes
okay.
left in the segment.
One thing that parents really need to learn is a concept called validation. And it doesn't mean that you're telling the kids that what they're doing is valid. You just, the valid in it doesn't count. But validation is going to be your primary mode to talking to your child. And what validation is you acknowledge the feelings that the kid has and you accept those feelings as being part of their experience rather than say, well, you shouldn't feel mad about this. You shouldn't feel upset about this. That is exactly the wrong thing to do. Validation is taking all of your energy, putting down your phone, sitting down with them or standing or wherever they are, and you say, and you tackle their emotions, which is one word. You seem like you feel confused. It seems like you feel angry. It seems like you feel whatever. And the kid just thrives on being told that you understand their feelings, you see what they're going through, and you never say something like you shouldn't feel that way, even if the situation seems like it. So let's say there's no movie tickets left for the latest flick, and your kid goes into a meltdown. You don't say, hey, this isn't a big deal. What you say is, you know, boy, you really sound really upset about that. And you let the kid talk and you keep on validating them. So that is your main communication method of talking to the kid. And it's difficult to explain on the phone. So what I would suggest to everybody is that they simply Google the word validation and maybe using the letters DBT, which stands for dialectical behavior therapy, and practice. First, practice on people who aren't your kid, and then, you know, get to the point where it's second nature.
Randy, real quick, I was going to ask you, I know that you said that you have a Zoom group and a support group for parents. Where would
yes.
people find that information?
Well, it comes from my online support group, Moving Forward, and it's mainly for members of Moving Forward, but it starts on Thursdays. It's 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, and in order to get the mailings about this, you join Moving Forward from my website, which is called stopwalkingoneggshells.com. You join the group, and then every Monday we send out the schedules. We have 4 Zoom groups a week, not just the ones on Thursday nights, but we have them on Tuesday nights for parents if they want to join. We have them on Saturday afternoons at 2 Central and 3 Eastern for partners. And then we have one on Sunday nights for women, actually, who have a mother with BPD. So we've got lots and lots of Zoom opportunities. Mm-hmm. People, like the last group, there were like 14 people there. And you're listened to and heard, and you'll hear that other people have the exact same stories.
That's awesome. We'll be back, so stay tuned. Randy will be back with a couple of nuggets of wisdom, and I'll be closing out the show with some sort of nugget of wisdom that I'll provide as well. So stay tuned because we got more up. We still have more to come, so don't change the channel. Don't change the dial. Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burtis, will be back in. Be back this time in 2 shakes.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On today's show, we've been exploring BPD signs, symptoms, treatment options, limitations, boundary creation when it comes to the parent-child dynamic. Randy Kreger has been joining me here live on Live Your True Life Perspectives. And if you've been watching and listening to the shows throughout the last, 10 years, you know that I have a tendency of asking folks, you know, just a couple of kind of words of wisdom, nuggets of thought, nuggets of wisdom. And so, Randy, it's time to be on the hot seat. What are a couple of things that you would like to share, important things that you want to share with our listeners before the end of the show today?
Sure. The number one is whether you're a parent or a partner is self-care. People can run themselves ragged, you know, about the borderline person, but they need to relax and they need to deal with three particular emotions. Trauma, because there's a lot of trauma that you feel, stress, which is self-explanatory, and grief. There's a lot of grief that your child won't ever do the things that other kids do, or they won't be quote-unquote normal. And mindfulness meditation is really great, spending time with other people, because parents tend to self-isolate. So that self-care is extremely important. And the next thing I would really talk about are siblings. Siblings of the borderline kid get overlooked, and the siblings get all the abuse without any perspective of how to deal with it, and they're ignored by the parents a lot because the other kid gets so much attention. So you have to be very cognizant of the abuse that the sibling is under. You have to carve out time to spend with the sibling. A lot of times the siblings, like a birthday party or events that focus on them, are ruined by the person with BPD. And I can't tell you how many adults come to me still terrified of their borderline siblings. And the third thing I'd say is something called radical acceptance, which is best Googled because I can't explain the whole thing. But instead of thinking about changing your child, you need to accept that they are the way that they are and go from there.
Powerful stuff, powerful. Randy, where can we find you on the web?
Sure, stopwalkingoneggshells.com. I just redid my website, and unlike a lot of websites that don't have very much information, I've got scads and scads of information for parents, partners, adult children, siblings. You can read about siblings there. And, of course, we've gone through all this stuff so fast. I would really encourage people to go to stopwalkingoneggshells.com. I also want to mention I have another book called The Essential Family Guide to Borderline Personality Disorder. I would really recommend that book, even over Stop Walking on Eggshells, The Essential Family Guide to Borderline Personality Disorder.
Randy, it's been great having you on. I look forward to our live show next Thursday. Thank you so much for coming live on the radio today.
You're welcome.
Great, great, amazing. Randy's awesome. So for everybody that's listening, thank you so much for tuning in. You know, I think that this is very powerful information, and many of you are going through this right now. You're dealing with it in the family dynamic, and having answers and understanding is powerful. That's where we get that knowledge. That's where we get the wisdom, and that's when we come out of that area of not knowing, not understanding, and actually having that aha moment and begin to realize, okay, what is the pathway that I'm going to take to create lasting change? What is the pathway that I'm going to create to make the life better for the folks in the family, for myself, and for the rest of the dynamic? And this is powerful. So I hope that everybody's enjoyed the show. Please share it with your family and friends. Also, don't forget, every week we put up new video content on YouTube. And also you can go to the website Ashley Burgess, BERGES.com. And in the meantime, just remembering, it's all about how we can create knowledge, understanding, be able to step back and ask those questions, understand, be able to connect, asking about feelings, allowing someone to feel the way they feel, listening, having that interaction. A lot of times many of us grew up in realities where you weren't allowed to feel that way, or your feelings, you were made fun of for having certain feelings. And so we want to make sure that we create the proper, positive, healthy family dynamic in any situation, but also doing what's right for others as well as doing what's right for us. Next, on live on YouTube on Thursday of this coming week, next Thursday we'll be live on YouTube and social media discussing BPD and the couples dynamic in that situation. So stay tuned. That'll be fun, and Randy will be there as well. Stay tuned. Live Your True Life Perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. I'll be back this time in three shakes.
It is interesting to see how the subjects on Ashley's True Life show and current events so often correlate with past events. As Ashley says, history often repeats itself. Our ancestors' genealogy research comes across great stories from the past that tie to families and our shared history regarding what happens in our country and our community. Ancestors' clients have had ancestors that were colonizers, explorers, founders of religions, gunslingers, kings and queens, knights, pirates, heroic soldiers, witches, and witch hunters. Let's find out who the characters are in your family tree. So please reach out today by going to our website, www.dancestorsgenealogy.com. That's dancestorsgenealogy.com, and fill out a contact request, and we'll get right back to you.